last several shiurim, we spoke a lot about the bracha charona, bracha mazon, what's the rice, what's the rabbanon. So now we're gonna work backwards. We're gonna talk about bracha rishon a little bit, even though the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos that son of a chacham is the one who answers the first thing first and goes to the last thing afterwards. That's what Rashi quotes. Even Rivka in this week's parsha, so she answered in the right order. So we're going backwards. We spent the first 2-3 weeks talking about bracha charona. Now we're gonna move to bracha rishon. So the name of the sugya is Asla Hanas Ba'el Mazebala Bracha, the prohibition of benefiting from this world without reciting a bracha, which we usually in our minds associate with the requirement, the obligation of reciting a bracha before one eats, but it takes us a little bit of a while till we get to that point. We're going to start the sugya from the very, very beginning, when the Gemara in the first of the Ramakamas in Brachas Lamed Hamad Aleph actually raises the question, Menani Mili, how do you know that you recite brachas? The Gemara is coming to explain the first Mishnah in the sixth Bracha Brachas, where the Mishnah begins with Ketzim Mevarchin, so what bracha do you make on fruit, or what bracha do you make on vegetables, or bracha do you make on bread and wine and everything? So the Gemara asks the obvious question, but not immediately, where did all this come from? How do you know you have to make brachas all together? So the Gemara quotes a brayis, the Tanur Rabbanu, we learned in a brayis, the Kodesh Yiluvim Hashem, the original, the Pshuto Shemek of this Pasuk, is talking about the mitzvah of Orla for the first 3 years. The fruit grows, so you're not permitted to eat the fruit. After the 3 years are up, so the fourth year it has the status of Kodesh. Kodesh Yilul Hashem, what do you do with it? So the Gemara says, we derive from Gzeir Shav, it says Kodesh by Revai, by fourth year fruit. And it says the word Kodesh by Maisa Sheni. Just as Maisa Sheni is brought to Yerushalayim, so to Revai, the fourth year fruit is brought to Yerushalayim. And just as Maisa Sheni, if you cannot make it to Yerushalayim, so you redeem it on coins, and you bring the coins to Yerushalayim to purchase food, so to Revai is the same thing. So Kodesh is all learned out from the phrase Kodesh Yilul Hashem. So the Gemara here quotes a deeper meaning to the phrase Kodesh Yilul Hashem, not just the fact that the fruit is holy, but rather Malamit Shetunim Bracha Lifneim Uleachareim, that you have to use the fruit, you have to praise the Kodesh Bracha, Kodesh Yilul, you have to Mahalal Hashem Hashem before you partake of the fruit. So the Gemara says, you see from here that there's a concept of reciting a bracha both before and after. What do you see before and after? Well, Hilulim is a Lashon Ram, it's in the plural. So one word, Hilulim, is teaching us, the hollow part teaches us bracha before, and the Hilulim part teaches us the bracha as well. And the Gemara, the Braisa concludes, Mikan Amar Rabbi Akiva, Asul Yarm Shitom Kulum Karim Sheyavarech. From here we derive that one is not permitted to eat anything before reciting a bracha, before being Mahal, before Mishabech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Gemara has a long discussion about this Braisa. Is this really a valid source or not? There are obviously many, many questions that present themselves from this drasha. That first of all, even if that's what the pasuk means, so we're not even sure that's what the pasuk really means, but even if it does, that's talking about fruit, how do you know other things, and many, many other questions along the way. So I summed up all those questions in the four little dots. I cut out the 40 lines of the Gemara, and the Gemara finally comes to the conclusion that this pasuk probably does not really serve as the source for brachas. It's an important pasuk. It teaches us many, many other dinim about Revai and Kedusha, etc. But it doesn't really impact on our sugya. So what is the ultimate source for reciting brachas? So the Gemara says, Ela svaru. The Gemara says it's a svara. It's just common sense. It's logical. What's the logic? That one is not permitted to benefit from this world without a bracha. So even though that's the name of our sugya, it took the Gemara a long, long time to reach that point. But that was the conclusion of the Gemara. So the Gemara started out thinking that brachas are based on some kind of a pasuk, and the kamash balan, the conclusion of the sugya is that brachas are not really learned after the pasuk. The pasuk falls short of serving as a real source. The real source for reciting brachas before eating is from the svara. So Tosfos points out in the second of the Maamar Kamos that if that's the case, that when all the dust settles, it's really a svara, so then the braisa was very misleading. Rabbi Akiva was very misleading. Rabbi Akiva says, Mikan Amar Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva derived the din of brachas from that pasuk. So what are you telling me a story that if Rabbi Akiva said that the source is from the pasuk, then the Amoraim are telling, oh no, by the way, Rabbi Akiva didn't really mean it. It's really based on a svara. What does that mean? So Tosfos picks up on that, and Tosfos says in the second of the Maamar Kamos, in brachas Lamed Hamad Aleph, Elo svaru Asa Lamed Shehan Bechulei, Ukra de Nasiv Le'el Asmachta Bi'alma. When Rabbi Akiva quoted a pasuk, he didn't mean it as a real drasha. We've seen this many times, that sometimes the Gemara will quote a pasuk as an asmachta, as a hint, as an allusion to something. We mentioned this a couple of shiurim ago in terms of Birchas HaMazon. According to many opinions, the requirement of Birchas HaMazon is only k'dei sviya, only if you eat and you're fully satiated. But the Gemara says v'achalta zukezayis. So Tosfos said that's only nasmach. That's really only midirabbanan. The Gemara will sometimes quote a posuk to back it up the sword to strengthen the din derabbanan, so to speak. But in the end of the day, it's really only midirabbanan. So Tosfos says that that's what's happening in our sugi as well. When Rabbi Akiva quoted the posuk as the source for brachas, he meant it only b'taras asmachta. So what did the Gemara think until this point? The Gemara esav mitchila delima gamru. The Gemara thought, for the first 40 lines in the Sugya, the Gemara thought that it was a real drasha, it was a real din derais, that's really what the Pasuk is referring to. And the Kamash Blot, the conclusion of the Gemara is, that at the end of the day, that it's really only an asmachta bialma. So you have these kinds of discussions in the Gemara very often. The Gemara will quote a Pasuk for something, and it's not always clear that the Gemara means it's a real drasha derais, it's a real drasha mu derais, and all the strength of a din derais. Or does the Gemara mean it's an asmachta? So according to Tosfos, that Nakuda, that point, is goof for the Shach Batar in the Sugya in Brachos. The Gemara thought at the beginning of the Sugya it was a real din d'araisa, and in the end the Gemara rejected it. It doesn't really serve as a real makor. The whole source of Brachos is just an asmach d'biyam. It's really based on the Svar of Asal Lihanas. But however, one could still take this Gemara one step further and ask ourselves, well, at the end of the day, it's not really based on a Pasuk. At the end of the day, the Pasuk Kedesh Yilulim is talking about Revoy. It's not really talking about making a bracha on an apple in your own home. So does the Gemara mean to say that Bracha Rishona is really Midrabbanan? Is that what the Gemara really is concluding? That we thought Bracha Rishona was Deraisa, based on a Pasuk. Kamash Blot, it's based on a Svara. The Svara is only Midrabbanan. The Svara doesn't appear in the Chumash. It doesn't say, so the simple meaning of the Gemara is that when the Gemara finally changes and turns around and concludes that it's... based on a svara, what the Gemara really means is it's not just a change from a drasha to a svara, but it's a change from a deraisa to a derabbanan. That the ultimate conclusion of the Gemara is that the recitation of a bar parades is only a mitzvah midrabbanan, it's not a mitzvah deraisa. Is that what the Gemara means? Or is there maybe reason to conclude that the Gemara, even though it's true the Gemara changes in terms of the source, the Gemara thought it was a pasuk and then concludes it's a svara, but maybe the strength of the din, the actual halachic status of the din really didn't change. Maybe it's still a deraisa, even in the absence of a pasuk. How can that be? It's a very strange concept. How can there be a din deraisa? We know that din deraisa based on psukim, either psukim that are explicit, or real bona fide drushes that are really a part of the Tosh Bapeh, invoking the Gzer Shavas, Klal Paraklal, all the Midas of Rabbi Shemuel and added Midas, or Dinim Deraisa are also included if they were Nimsa Ishpe Pishad Moshe Rabbeinu, if there's a real bona fide tradition, Ishpe Pishad Moshe Rabbeinu, Halacha Moshe Mesinai, those are all Dinim Deraisa. Something which is based on a Svara, based on human logic, it's not a Pasuk, it's not explicit, it's not even a Drush of a Pasuk, it's not a Halacha Moshe Mesinai, it's based on just a Pasuk of a Svara, just because it makes sense. Since when has that become elevated to a din deraisa? So the simple reading of the Gemara is that it's not. The simple reading of the Gemara is that Bracha Rishona is a Svara, it's a good Svara, nice Svara, but Svaras are only midirabbanan.
The fact that the Gemara is asking the question, you know, Hanrin, shows that it realized that there was some type of chiyuv over there, and searching for the reason.
Okay, so you want to say that we can be medayik from the text of the Gemara, from the Lashon HaGemara, is that no, the Gemara never really backed down from its assumption. Its assumption all along was that it's derais. We're just having trouble pinpointing where the derais is. And when the Gemara finally concludes with svara, maybe it is a deraisa. So we would have to prove from other sugyas and shas this concept. This is somewhat of a novel concept that you can have a din deraisa that's based on a svara, not based on any makor, not based on any source, not based on any chumash. Menon imili. The answer is menon imili svarahu. So do we have any makor for that? So we do. In the third of the Ramakamos, so the Gemara has, towards the end of this Mar Mokom, there was a little bit of a confusion as to where I wanted the Mar Mokom to start, but I wanted to start three lines from the bottom. Amar Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni. Amar Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni, Minayin Lamotzi Mechaveir Lavaraya. How do you know that there's a principle called Hamotzi Mechaveir Lavaraya? How do you know this is a principle that permeates all of Dinim Amunus? If I have a Din Torah with you, so you're wearing a shirt, and I walk the base, and I say, that shirt belongs to me. So how do you know that we don't take the shirt off your back and give it to me? How do you know? Moskal of Araya. So I have to bring Edim, I have to bring a proof, I have to have some kind of a, to substantiate my claim. Where do you know such a principle in Halacha? How do you know Moskal of Araya? So the Gemara starts out by thinking it's based on a Pasuk. Shinemar, Bibal Dvarim Yigash Alehem, Yagish Rayu Alehem. The Pasuk says in Parshas Bishpatim, the end of Parshas Mishpatim, so Moshe Rabbeinu tells Klai, so he's going up to Har Sinai, so he's leaving behind the next in command. So he says that Aaron's here, Hur's here, he says all the people who are going to postulate all the Shilas for the next 40 days, so they're in control. And it says, Bibal Dvarim Yigash Aleihem, whoever has an issue, whoever has a Din Torah, whoever has a Shilah, should go to them. So of course, the simple reading of Yigash Aleihem means that they should go to them. So the Gemara says, no, the Tosha Rafa explains that the word Yigash has a double meaning. It doesn't just refer to the fact that the Balei Din should go to them, to the Dayanim, but Yagish Raya Aleihem, as a Lashon Lahagish, doesn't only mean to come yourself, but it means to bring also. Namely, if you have a Din Torah with somebody, go bring a Raya. Yagish Raya Aleihem. So the Gemara says, this is the source, Rosh Hashanah Chmeni says, this is the source for this Din Deraisa called Hamotzim Chaver Olav Araya. So comes the Gemara and asks, Maskiv Rav Ashi, Halama Likra, Svaru. Rav Ashi says, but you need a Pasuk. It's obvious. Anybody could have figured this out. It's so logical. What is so logical about it? The koiv lekeiva ozol be'asya. If something hurts you, you go to the doctor. So the Gemara says, it's so poshut that if something hurts you, you go to the doctor. Therefore, there's no need for a pasuk to teach me a motzvich levaraya. So before we extract from this sugi what's relevant for Shulchan Brachos, I don't quite understand what the question and answer of the Gemara was. The Gemara thought that you needed a pasuk for Motzech Levaraya, and the Gemara said, nah, you don't need a pasuk. It's a superfluous pasuk. The pasuk must mean something else, because it's so posh, it's a svara. What's the svara? If your head hurts, you go to the doctor. What does that have to do with HaMotzech Levaraya? A maskim that if your head hurts, you go to the doctor. A maskim that if you want to get money, you got to go to the base, then bring a raya. But I don't see what the connection between the two is. So the Shita Mekubetzes quotes that he thinks the answer, the connection between the two is as follows. When the Gemara says that when your head hurts, you go to the doctor, the Gemara doesn't just mean to say you go to the doctor. It means if your head hurts, you have to go to the doctor, and you have to give the facts to the doctor. Imagine a patient comes to the doctor, and he comes and he says, okay, I'm here for an appointment, and the doctor asks him, so what's bothering you? So the patient says, I'm not going to tell you. I want you to figure it out all on your own. Tell me what's wrong with me. So I don't know too much about medicine, but that's not going to go. That's not a good first give and take between the doctor and patient. So it's understood that if you have a problem, you have a medical problem, so if you want to get a solution to a medical problem, you have to give the facts, like most other problems in life. If you don't present the facts to the person you're trying to get an answer from, it's going to be very, very hard for them to actually help you. So that's what the Shibu Kabet says. That's what the Gemara means here also. You go to the Beis Din. So going to the Beis Din is like going to the doctor. You're trying to get the Beis Din to help you. So the Beis Din says, okay, so you claim that shirt belongs to you. So how do you know that? Like, prove that to me. So the guy said, I don't want to tell you, Beis Din. It's a secret. I'm not going to tell you why I think that shirt belongs to me. So the Beis Din is going to laugh at me. They're going to say, you want us to take the shirt away from somebody else's back because you think it belongs to you? Unless you tell me what makes you believe it belongs to you, bring me Eidim, bring me a Raya, bring me something that makes us believe that there's some authenticity to your claim, you're not going to get that shirt. So that's what Rav Ashi said, a motzav ril, a Raya is a poshut svara. Unless you can convince the Beis Din as to the truth of your claim, you're going to get nothing out of this. So Rav Ashi asked, what do you need a pasuk for? Why do you need a special gzeres hakasim, a special pasuk to teach me hamotzev mechavel v'raya? It's a pashat tisvar. So we have to analyze what Rav Ashi, what was bothering Rav Ashi. What was bothering Rav Ashi was, is that why the need for a pasuk if it's a svara, implying that anything that's learned out from a svara is a din deraisa. If a svara, if a halacha that's based on just pure logic, just based on common sense, would not have the status of a deraisa, so then Rav Ashi's question would make no sense. Rav Ashi says, why do you need a pasuk? It's a svara. I'll tell you why I need a pasuk. You need a pasuk to elevate it to a deraisa. So the answer is, I don't need a pasuk for that, because it reached that elevation by itself, namely because it's based on a svara. Anything that's absolute, whole, hardcore logic that makes perfect sense, nobody would ever question. Anything that's learned out from a svara, you see from this Gemara, has the status mamash of a din deraisa. How do we know that? The stomach, that's also part of the Midah Shatar Nidreshes Behem. The Yud Gimel Midah Shatar Nidreshes Behem, only 13. There are many others. So there are other Midah. So one of the other Midah Shatar Nidreshes Behem, if it makes sense, if the Torah is supposed to make sense, the Shabbat who gave us his Chochmah, it's supposed to make sense. Sometimes we have problems. Sometimes we don't understand always the Chochmah Satorah. But if we think hard enough, and we have a good head on our shoulders, so then we'll figure out, hey, this din really makes a lot of sense, and this din makes a lot of sense, and that din makes a lot of sense. If we can't quite come to that conclusion, so the chisaron is ours, not the rebbeinu, not the Torah's chisaron. So that's what the Gemara says, that everybody would agree. Every person on the street would realize that the koiv lekeiva azul beyasya. If your head hurts, tell the doctor your problem. If you want money out of Beis Din, tell the Beis Din your problem. I don't need a pasuk to tell me that. It's so obvious.
How do you define the right thing? I mean, the right thing means it doesn't mean it's not important, but the kapala from the right means that it has to have the source in the Torah, not just the source in Sfarah.
So that, so
that's what Rabbanan does.
That's what I would have said, but that's exactly what you see from this Gemara. Not that way. You see from this Gemara that if the Sfarah is really, really compelling, that's part of Chachmas HaTorah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave human beings the ability to think properly. If I really, truly understand Sfarah properly, so then I will be mechaving to what is part of Chachmas HaTorah, even though it's not written explicitly in the Chumash. So that's what Rav Ashi is telling me. So that could be what the Gemara is talking about in Brachas also. When the Gemara comes to the end and says that, guess what, there's no pasuk for Brachas, but it's so compelling, it's so obvious, how could you even dream of taking something from the Rabban Shalom, enjoying this world without acknowledging HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence, that he's the borei of this pri? It is such a poshut, a compelling svara. The only reason why a lot of people don't come to that svara is because they don't want to believe in the Rabban Shalom. They have their own agendas. But anyone who's thinking with a head on the shoulders will come to the realization that how can you think of eating the apple without reciting the Bar Parades, without thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the Bar Parades? How can you possibly take something, like the Gemara says, if a person eats a food without reciting a bracha, it's like stealing from the Rabban Shalom. That's just poshut common sense. So if what we're saying is correct, and this would elevate brachas into a whole new level. This would put brachas, even brachas before food, into the status of a deraisa. Now, whether something is a deraisa or derabbanan is not just academic, it has nafkis, it has practical consequences. Namely, we already spoke about brachas amazon deraisa, safik deraisa l'chumra. Brachas amazon derabbanan, safik derabbanan l'kula. Bracha rishona deraisa, safik brachas lechumra. So bracha rishona is only derabbanan, then safik bracha rishona would be lekula. So that's an important question, really halachically, not just academically. So what is the din? What's the halacha? Do we say that brachas ananin are really truly deraisa because of this compelling svara? Or do we say this svara is not as compelling as we thought it was? The Gemara never really meant it. The Gemara thought it was a deraisa. The Gemara backed out. It's an asmach. That's not really true. The whole brachas rishona are all in midirabbanan. So for most of the Rishonim, it would appear that brachas are only midirabbanan, except for brachas mazon. That's the way we paskin in the Rambam and Shulchan Aruch. We paskin that bracha rishona is not really deraisa. This svara is not as much as we thought it was. Not as compelling, not as convincing as we thought it was. That the brachas, bracha rishona, are most probably only midirabbanan. But there is a dissenting view. So the sefer, Maseches Brachas, that's quoted as being the dissenting view, happens to be a Pnei Yeshua. The Pnei Yeshua, Maseches Brachas, takes on what the other Rishonim seem to assume is not correct. The Pnei Yeshua writes, he was an Acher in the Pnei Yeshua, he writes that it's near a low, that the simple reading of the Gemara is like you suggested, that it's really deraisa. The Gemara knew it was a deraisa. The Gemara was just trying to pinpoint where the deraisa comes from, and the Gemara found it. But to say that it's only a derabbanan, to say that it's just made up by the Chachamim, so the Pnei Yeshua didn't think that that was correct. The Nusach was made up by the Rabbanan. But we already saw that by Birchas HaMazon also. Birchas HaMazon is deraisa, but the Nusach was made up by Moshe, Yeshua, David, Shalom, etc. So, I'll call upon him. We're still open for the possibility that Birchas HaNanim may really be a deraisa. Do we have any Rishon who says that? We have a Pnei Yeshua, it's a great Acharon. Is there any source in Rishonim for such an idea? So there is a sugya in the fourth of the Ramah Mekomos, which may shed some light on this topic. So the Gemara has the following shayla in the fourth of the Ramah Mekomos in Brachas Daf Yud Beis and Aleph. Pshita, the following thing is poshut. The following thing is obvious. Heicha dekanokit kasa dechamra biyadei. If a person is holding a cup of wine in his hands, v'kasavar deshichrehu, and he thought it was beer. So he thought, it was a lighter wine. He thought it was beer. So he's holding this cup, and he thinks that it's sheikh, he thinks that it's beer. So he's getting all psyched to recite the bracha of shahakol. So he says, Baruch atah Hashem, okay, machalam, thinking he's going to conclude shahakol. And then, so he takes a look, it's a smell, I mean, this is not beer, this is wine. V'siyim b'techamra. And he finishes off with bar priyagofen. So the Gemara says, yotza. So then he would still be yotzei the bracha. Why? Even though, when he started off the bracha, he was made a mistake. He started off the bracha thinking it was a different type of a beverage. It doesn't matter. The inabi mo shakol yebid vori yotza. Because even if he would have finished shakol, he would have been yotzei. Because the din is that tanana kulmi am shakol yebid vori yotza. The din is b'diyeved. If you say shakol in anything, you yotzei. So even if he would have said baruch Hashem kevachem shakol yebid varo, the whole bracha mitchil of yatzov, thinking that was beer, turns out to be wine. He still yotzei the bracha. So the fact that he had the wrong intention, that doesn't make a difference. But the Gemara says, the opposite case now becomes interesting. Ella, heichad dekanochet kaseh deshichr biyadei. He's holding a cup of wine, a cup of beer in his hand. I'm sorry, he's holding a cup of beer in his hand. V'kasavah dechamrehu. And he thinks that it's wine. He's convinced that it's a wine. And he starts to make the bracha. Bracha d'Hashem v'kem echlam, about to conclude bar piagofen. Somebody taps him on the shoulder and says, not wine, it's beer. V'siyem v'dishichramai. So he concludes the bracha with the right words, but at the time that he said the bracha d'Hashem, he had in mind the wrong thing. So what's the din? What's the shayla? So do you follow what he had in mind at the beginning of the bracha? Is that the key part of the bracha? Or is the end of the bracha the most important part? So I can hear svaras each direction. On the one hand, the end of the bracha is ultimately what demarcates the bracha as a unique bracha. On the other hand, the bracha d'Hashem, any bracha doesn't have Hashem's name, is not a bracha altogether. If a guy would just say baruch, bar piagofen or something, that's not a bracha. So the saying of the Shem Hashem is an integral part of the bracha. So Gemara's not sure. Gemara's pilpling back and forth. Is the beginning of the bracha important? The end of the bracha important? Not resolved in the sugya. So how would we paskin l'alocha? Lo yitzi, this would happen. A guy would come to you with a shayla and say, I picked up a cup of beer, thinking it was wine, started to make the bracha, about to finish bar piagofen, goofed, changed, midstream, got it right. How would you paskin? So comes Tosas in the fifth of the Rambam Kabbalah, it says, Upirish of Alphas, Hashtadal Ifshita Bayan, Azlina Nakula. So the Rif says it's an unresolved doubt, and therefore we're going to go Lahaka, we're going to go Lakula. Vafilu Pasabhama Vasim Bishikra Yatza. So even if Bidiyavid you goofed and you did what the Gemara wasn't sure about, Bidiyavid we would still let you drink the drink because it's a Safik Brachas Lahakal. So the Rif in one fell swoop just told us a klal about brachas in terms of bracha rishona. When in doubt in brachas, yeyaytze. When in doubt, don't worry about it. Yeyaytze. Yeah, it's right, it's fine. Safi brachas lahakel, at least a bracha rishona. But then comes Tosis at the end and says, V'rihayayimer, that the Ri, Baal Tosis, the Ri used to say, L'chumra, titzorech nevarach pamacheres. The Ri said, no, I don't know what the din is. I'm not sure what the halacha is. And therefore, misafik, you have to recite another bracha. Why do you have to recite another bracha? Based on what? Based on where did that requirement of reciting another bracha come from? So one could suggest that maybe the requirement of reciting a bracha comes from the fact that maybe the Ri was looking at brachas almost like the same way the Pnei Yeshuva was looking at brachas. That brachas vishonas are not so simple that they're called the Rabbanan. Maybe they really smack up a deraisa, and the source, albeit not a pasuk, albeit not a lechem arsina, albeit not a real drasha, but misvara. Just as Rav Ashi said, lam likros varu, that idea may spill over here, tilchos brachos as well. So, whether we understand that this svar of Asa Lehanos is a smacks of a deraisa, or whether this Asa Lehanos is a pure derabanan, it's up for grabs, but we still have to analyze exactly what the meaning of this phrase is. Asa Lehanos b'lom azebeli bracha. What exactly does that mean? So, when we look at Hilchos Brachos, so we usually look at Hilchos Brachos as almost like a mitzvah saseh, as a positive commandment. Either a positive mitzvah min haTorah, like tefillin, shofar, matzah, sukkah, etc., or a positive mitzvah min derabanan, like Megillah, Neres Chanuk, Neres Shams, etc. That's usually the take that we have in terms of Hilchos Brachos. But here, the Gemara is telling us that there's an element, there's an aspect of Brachos that's asur. The Gemara uses the word asur. I wouldn't say about a person, if a person didn't light Neres Chanukah, I wouldn't say he violated an Isser. There's no Isser not to light Neres Chanukah. Is that you were mevatel the mitzvah, you didn't fulfill the mitzvah of Neres Chanukah. Just as by deraisas, if a person doesn't put on tefillin, I wouldn't say you did an Isser by not putting on tefillin. I would say you lost the mitzvah, you were mevatel, you didn't fulfill the mitzvah of putting on tefillin. If you ate treif, that's called violating an Isser. So when it comes to brachas, I want to know which one is the key, which is the ikar in Hilchos Brachas. So on the one hand, there's clearly something positive here. Brachas is not just isurim. There's a mitzvah, either midrabanan, midrais, whatever you want to call it, of reciting a bracha. So there's definitely a positive dimension of brachas. On the other hand, there's definitely a negative dimension, also the hanos. So I want to know, what is the relationship between the mitzvah part and the issa part? Are they related? Are they dependent one upon the other? And if so, in what direction are they connected? So there is a sugya in the sixth of the Maimon Kamos. We spoke a lot about the sugya in the Sunday morning shurim in Hilchos Avelos. The Gemara is quotes a braisa that elaborates upon the Mishnah, the beginning of the third Berach of Brachas, which talks about the status of an einan in halacha. Someone who is misha mesa mutal afanav, someone who buried his mace. I'm sorry, he's not yet buried his mace. I'm sorry, somebody, a relative died, and he's not yet buried his mace. So he has that unique status called Misha Mesa Mutlafanov. And one of the halachas of Misha Mesa Mutlafanov is that he doesn't perform mitzvahs. There's actually machlek is the Rishonim. Does it mean that he's potter for mitzvahs, or does it mean that he's not allowed to perform mitzvahs? We generally assume he's not supposed to perform mitzvahs. So what does it mean not supposed to perform mitzvahs? Doesn't say Kriyashma, doesn't daven, doesn't film, doesn't do all the mitzvahs I say. When we say that he doesn't perform mitzvahs, that in no shape or form means he could do averus, so the guy says, well, his relative just died, he's got a few hours, now it's time to go eat chazer. Well, that's absurd. Obviously, he can't violate Isurim. At best, he's potter for mitzvahs. Either he's potter for mitzvahs because of osik b'mitzvah, potter min mitzvah. He's supposed to be involved in taking care of the mace, so that's a p'tur, that's what Rashi says. Or there's some kind of an issue of doing mitzvahs, like Tosfos says, because it's like almost like a bizayon hames. For at the time that he's supposed to be doing other things, supposed to be taking care of hespedim and chavak kedishas and making sure people come into the levaya, and he's learning tefillin, he's davening shacharis, he's putting on his talis and tefillin, so that's a bizayon hames. That's an isser. So whether you like Rashi's pshat that it's a p'tur or Tosfos's pshat that it's an isser, but it obviously only applies to mitzvahs hesed. In no shape or form would we permit you to do isurim. But every once in a while, you run into something that's not clear whether it's a mitzvah or whether it's an isser, because it has certain dimensions of both. So for example, we don't have it in the Maamar Kamos, but the Pesachei Tshuva in Hilchos Avelus quotes a shaila from the earlier Acharonim. What's the status of an onein vis-a-vis the mitzvah of the Tilas Yadayim? Now, an onein's allowed to eat. He doesn't have to starve, so he's allowed to eat. If he wants to have a sandwich, he's allowed to eat a sandwich. The question is, should he be washing the Tilas Yadayim, or should he dafka not be washing the Tilas Yadayim? What's the Shaila? So the Acharonim have the following machlokes. Well, what is the Tilas Yadayim? So Tilas Yadayim is very, very tricky. On the one hand, it's a positive mitzvah, proof positive. You make a bracha, asher kiddushanu mitzvah yisivanu. You don't make a bracha nisurim. When you pass by McDonald's and you decide not to go in, you don't make a bracha, asher kiddushanu mitzvah yisivanu shalol echol treif. There's no such bracha. So you only make a bracha when you're doing something actively, positively. So from the fact that we recite a bracha on the Tilas Yadayim, that's an indication that there's a mitzvah shibo. On the other hand, the halacha is that if a person chooses not to perform this mitzvah of Tilas Yadayim and they eat bread without washing, so they violate an isser as well. There's an isser derabanan for whatever reason, either mishum kedusha, mishum srach trum, whatever the reasons for the Tilas Yadayim are, there's an isser derabanan to eat bread without washing the Tilas Yadayim. So it's a tricky thing. The Tilas Yadayim is both mitzvah and isser. So now, how does this relate to an onein? What would we tell an onein to do? So if the emphasis on the Tilas Yadayim is mitzvah, it's really a mitzvah-oriented, and the isser is almost secondary. The reason why it's usser to eat bread without washing is because you're being mevatel the mitzvah. It really starts as a mitzvah. It's not really an independent isser. The isser is nevea. The isser emanates from the mitzvah. If that's the case, then we have to paskin this with the rules of Vuchas Mitzvahs. And the rule of Vuchas Mitzvahs would dictate that an onein doesn't perform this kind of a mitzvah. And if that's true, then the onin could go ahead, the onin who is potter from the mitzvah of the Tilas Yadayim, could go ahead and eat the bread without washing. But if you hold that the Tilas Yadayim really is fundamentally Isser-oriented, because of reasons X, Y, and Z, Chazal made a gezeira not to eat bread without washing, and therefore you have to wash, so the therefore is there, but in the other way around, it's fundamentally Isser, not fundamentally mitzvah, that an onin would be required to wash. So it's unclear when you have these kind of borderline mitzvahs, which have aspects of mitzvah and aspects of isser, what, the chicken before the egg, or the egg before the chicken, what's going what? What's leading to what? What's causing what? Do we say that it's fundamentally isser, and because there's a problem, therefore there's a mitzvah? Or do we say, no, it's fundamentally mitzvah, and once Chazal instituted the mitzvah, if you don't do the mitzvah, then it becomes a problem. So the Chora, that same shah that the Acharon, the Pesach Tshuva, debating in Hochas Aninos, Hochas Avelos, should carry over to Birchas Ananin as well. Should we say that a person is permitted to eat food when they're in the state of Aninos without reciting a bracha? So if you ask me, I would say, it depends on our shayla. If you hold that brachas are fundamentally mitzvah-oriented, so then an onen is part of a mitzvah. I also the Hanas Golem Zebulo bracha, but he's not obligated to make the bracha. So anyone who doesn't have the mitzvah sesim in the rabbanon brachas is automatically not included in the issel aras b'lozebili bracha, because it starts out with bracha. You have to make a bracha. Since you could make a bracha, since you're supposed to make a bracha, therefore it's aslo aras b'lozebili bracha. If that's the case, then an onein who is potter from mitzvahs, both their isis and their abundance, would not be concerned with the isser being nene minom zev lo bracha. But if you go the other direction, if you hold that there's an independent isser called asa hasla zev lo bracha, and as a response to that, you have to recite a bracha, that's a whole different ballgame. So then we should say to the onein, true, you don't have to do mitzvahs, but we can't let you eat the apple. We can't let you eat the food. How can we let you take the cup of orange juice? By doing so, you're going to be over an isser of being nanim el mezeb lebracha, and that an onen has no right to do. So l'chora, the test case, the achakir, the test, litmus test for ashayla, where the brachas are fundamentally mitzvahs, are fundamentally isurim, should be found in Nuchas Aninos, and it seems to be pretty clear in Nuchas Aninos. If we take a look at the sixth of the Maamar Kamos, So the Gemara quotes a braisa that says, Misha Mesa Mutulafanov, if somebody's relative just died, so they shouldn't eat literally in front of the mace. It's not appropriate. That's like making fun of the mace. To sit down and have a sandwich right in front of the mace. You should eat somewhere else. If you don't have another house to go to, if you don't own another house, you go to your friend's house. If your friend doesn't have a house, so then you should at least make a wall, at least make a partition, at least make a separation to at least cover you in terms of that. If there's nothing to make even a mechitza with, so at least you should turn away. Don't sit facing and munch it on your sandwich, literally facing the mace. And even though you're eating, you shouldn't, like Pesach night, it's not the time to be reclining in your fancy seats, just eat your meal quickly. And you don't eat meat, the person doesn't eat meat in aninus, doesn't drink wine in aninus. But now we come to the part that's relevant for us. The eino mezamein, you don't make a bracha, you don't part of the mezumin. The eino mevarchin alav, nobody else makes the bracha for you. The eino mezamein alav, you're not mitzdarf to the mezumin. Upatam ekriyashvam in a tefillah, in a tefillah comes to moros b'tera, and you don't say kriyashvam, you don't say tefillah, you don't put on tefillin. All other mitzvahs in the Torah, you're completely exempt from. Again, either exempt, literally exempt, or exempt even with the prohibition. You're not supposed to do it. So there are a few things here that were mentioned that were kind of, you know, lumped together. Eino mevarch, eino mezamein. What do those words mean? Is that referring to birchas hanehanin before food, or is that referring to birchas hamazon after food? So most of the Rishonim, the overwhelming majority of the poskim, assume that the Braisa is all inclusive. The Braisa didn't say, "Well, don't bench, but still make a bar pre-eitz, still make a mozi echem arts." The simple reading of the Braisa is, "Don't make any brachas." Einam avarech, einam mezamin means everything. Don't make any brachas whatsoever. No brachas whatsoever are appropriate to be recited. If that's the case, so then that should shed light on our shaila. How can you tell me that the onan doesn't make a bracha? What happened? Isn't there an issa lahanas benalas ablo bracha? So the answer is, there really is no issa. The issa doesn't really exist in and of itself. The issa exists because you should have the opportunity to make a bracha, and you could make a bracha, and you choose not to, then also lahanas benalas ablo bracha. But for the person who can't make the bracha, his hands are tied because he's an onain, so he can't do the mitzvah, so there is no independent isser of asla asla zebulah bracha. Anyone who would want to opt for the other side of the chakira, who would want to opt with the fact that bracha starts as isurim and mitzvah is kind of a second thought, so then you would have to read this brice a very, very limited way and say, in mevarach, in azam, it's all referring to birchas hamazon after the food. After the food, there's no issa. I ate the food already. I'm done. Then it's only a mitzvah. But to go ahead and sanction eating an apple while you're an onain and let you, quote-unquote, violate the issa of l'anas v'zabli bracha, that would not be acceptable. So, when all the dust settles, there is a mitzvah to make brachas. No question about that. In case we didn't know that before, we should know that by now. You have to recite a bracha before you eat. There's a mitzvah to recite a bracha. There's a certain dimension of issa to recite a bracha. But there's a lot of things that are still not clear. We're still not 100% sure is the obligation of brachas deraisa derabanan. The Gemara thought it was deraisa and seemed to backtrack, but maybe not 100%. And again, the corollary of that question is, the lamai's application, well, how does suffik brachas play out? If it's deraisa, then suffik brachas maybe is l'chomu, which may be the sheet of the ri. If brachas are only midirabanan, then obviously the riff is correct, that suffik brachas would be l'kula. And then the next question is also somewhat unclear, is assuming there's an isra and there's a mitzvah, what is the relationship alakhtirah between the two? So it's A lead to B, B lead to A, or maybe the two independent. So again, this would have other ramifications in terms of Vachas Aninas, other areas in terms of Vachas Brachas as well. So I'm not saying we're making a Siyam in Vachas Brachas, but we finished the first part of our sugyas in the sense of trying to identify at least brachas relating to food, what's their isa, what's their abanan. Brachas Amazon, after the food, is for sure their isa, but only sometimes, depending on what you think about Kazayas, that was the first two shiurim. And now we have the second half, in terms of bracha v'shahof, next year, so we'll move on to other brachas, which may also potentially qualify as brachas their isa, or may fall back on brachas their abanan.
Shows that it's
fundamentally mitzvah. Yeah. But until now, we pass it to suffik, and therefore the poskim right, we should tell him to wash a bit without making a bracha. So it's funny. So we almost pass him until Zidane that both parts are true. There's mitzvah and there's isser. So you can't make a bracha because the bracha only relates to the mitzvah, and that mitzvah you don't really have.
So the heading of this should have been mitzvah levarach.
Okay. Okay, so I stole it from the Gemara, that's why. At least I got the heading of Yibijani Brachas right. We changed the kashas to Brachas. Good. It's good.
Rambam calls them Tilis Yudayim,
he calls them Rishus in contrast to Maim Acharonim, because the Gemara uses that Lashon, the Maim Acharonim is a Chova, and there's a shadayim is a rishus, but it doesn't really mean rishus. It means rishus that nobody told you to eat bread in the first place. But eating the bread is not.